Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Kuf Yud Beis, second to last daf of the Masechta. We're starting today the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Alf Amud Beis, and we're going to enter back into the world of halacha. This has been a long detour for us in terms of the halachas of the Gemara. We've been doing a Agadah to now for almost 3 weeks since Daf Tzadi, where the Gemara introduced us to the idea of certain people have a chelek in Olam Haba. Sorry, most everyone has a chelek in Olam Haba, with exception to seven notables. We've gone over the seven notables. We talked about Tchias HaMesim, and there were a number of major Hashkafic topics, Amunah topics that we talked about now since Daf Tzadi, all the way back to the 90th Daf of the Masechta. But now as we turn to the end of this parak, we're on Daf, Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Beis. So we turn to a Mishnah, and the Mishnah over here it brings us back to Halacha. Although when I say the Mishnah brings us back to Halacha, we're talking about the Halachas of Ir Nidachas. So it's not like we're going to get into halacha lemaisa. You'll remember earlier in the Masechta, we talked about the idea that perhaps when it comes to the Yirni Dachas, lo haya v'lo yiyah. And in other words, it never happened, it never will happen. An entire city that's subverted and is being seduced into the trappings of Avodah Zarah. Whether it did or did not happen, it's still on the books. It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, one of the averes in the Torah. And so we're going to discuss it in detail. Okay, I don't know if you noticed, but it's been a long Masechta, but over the course of the Masechta, as much as we talked about all the Mises based in, so the truth of the matter is we mentioned Yirni Dachas, but we never discussed it with any kind of detail. So this is the Mishnah that discusses it with a certain amount of detail in terms of exactly how an Yirni Dachas is supposed to be judged. Let me just give an overview in terms of what it looks like. And it's gonna be problematic when we try to get into the details of it. But what it looks like is as follows: when you have an individual being over to Avodah Zarah, so you have Edom, you have Asra, you have witnesses, you have a warning. So in terms of the punishments, very cut and dry. So the Torah says skila. So you stone the individual who's over to Avodah Zarah as an individual, and that's it. Meaning, and what about his money? His money is his money, and obviously he doesn't get to keep it anymore. He's not going to be with us on this earth anymore. But in other words, it'll just simply be yarshin to the next generation. That's clear. That's straightforward. But now we're talking about an entire city that was subverted and is over to Avodah Zarah. Somebody comes into town, although, as we'll see later, that's not an accurate description of what it is, because it's not an outsider coming into town. It's a local resident. But in other words, somebody gets up in front of everybody and says, "Hey, I got this great idea. Let's be over to Avodah Zarah. It's just wonderful." And like a cult leader, I sweep the majority of the community into being over to Avodah Zarah. So now the city has Ir Nidachas status. So basically, what you have is instead of individuals being over to Avodah Zarah, you have now a community, a group of people being over to Avodah Zarah. So there are going to be two fundamental changes now occur in terms of the halacha, in terms of the onus, in terms of the punishment. One is a method in which they're put to death. Instead of being put to death through skila, they're going to be put to death through sayif. Okay, that runs a little bit counterintuitive. I'll raise the issue. I do have a suggestion, although I don't have a source for it, so I'll just keep the suggestion to myself. You want my suggestion, I'll give it to you afterwards. But I'll raise the issue, though. It's a simple one. As an individual serving idolatry, so you get the skila penalty. Now, as you're a member of an entire community being serving Avodah Zarah, so you get downgraded to Saif. Everyone agrees that Saif is lower than Skila. Whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon, whether you hold like the Chachamim, Saif is lower than Skila. So how come it is that when you're now part of an entire community being serving Avodah Zarah, so now your death penalty is going to get downgraded? Okay, again, I do have a suggestion. I'm not... Practical. Oh, you're saying it's a practical issue? Okay. Come to me later. I'll tell you what I think, but... Again, I don't have a source for it, so I'm not going to bother right now. You know, I try to keep it as straightforward as possible. Okay, and that's one notable exception difference, and the other notable difference, of course, is the money. In other words, the money of the people in the city, and here it gets interesting. Even for those people who didn't serve idolatry, now for the people who didn't serve idolatry in the Ir Nidachas, they're not going to be put to death. Let me make that clear. I'll even say it again. For those people living in the Ir Nidachas who are not being over to Avodah Zarah, they're not going to be put to death. They weren't over to Avodah Zarah. But their money, however, together with the people who, of course, were over to Avodah Zarah, All the money is going to be collected into the Rehov HaIr, into the town city, into the town square, the main thoroughfare of the city, and it's going to be destroyed over there. It's going to be burnt in fire, and it's going to be destroyed. And in terms of the aftermath in terms of the city, so Tel Olam, the Torah describes it as some sort of mountain, some sort of mound that's to be left there indefinitely as a permanent reminder of, hey, don't serve idolatry on a citywide level. But we'll talk more about that later on. But anyway, okay, so we are now describing really for the Yerni Dachas, there are really two things to focus on. One, the Misa changes from Skila to Sayif. Two, all the money of all the people in the city are going to be destroyed in the center of the city. Okay. Where Yerni Dachas comes up, like, I guess you would say Halach Lamaisa again, the Yerni Dachas is not coming up, seemingly in the foreseeable future. So it may never even have happened to begin with. But if you remember, in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, I know that's what we happen to be learning in the afternoons. So in the third parak of Sukkah, so one of the lulavim that's possible in mentioned in the first Mishnah of the third parak of Sukkah is lulav shel Ir Nidachas. The lulav of the Ir Nidachas. Now the Gemara over there points out, the reason why it's no good is ketu temech tashira, because it doesn't have the requisite shear. Any possession in the Ir Nidachas has to be destroyed. And not only destroyed, but destroyed through Sreifa. So you have a lulav, and even though it looks good, but since it needs to be destroyed, it's omed l'sarof, it stands to be burnt, it's kesarof dam, it's viewed as it's already burnt, and therefore you don't have the requisite shear. Right? Remember the Tosus, we just learned the Tosus together. Tosus over there asked such a wonderful question, why don't we say mitzvah haba b'avera? Okay, the Gemara in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah. Anyway, all that was by way of introduction. Now with the introduction over, so let's see the Mishnah inside. I'm sorry, one other word, which again is just a foreshadow for the upcoming Gemara. In other words, the judging of the Ir Nidachas is going to be a logistic nightmare, which the Gemara is going to note later on. But I'll just raise it now as the problem, meaning that we don't know that the members of the city are regular Oved Avodah Zarah or in Ir Nidachas status until we get to 51%. So how are we judging the first 50% of the population? It's a logistic nightmare, and later in the Gemara is going to note that, and the Gemara is going to try to give solutions in terms of how they're going to be judged, how the first 50% are going to be judged. So it has to be Hasra. Without Hasra, there's no punishment. Right, and what you're raising is an excellent point, because when you're giving the Hasra, you don't know if you're giving them a warning as an individual or you're giving them a warning as a member of the Ir Nidachas. That's a wonderful point.
No, I think the Mishnah said that they don't need
it. No. The Mishnah is going to say they do need Hasra.
Need it. Only individual need it, but not Ir Nidachas.
We'll see. Everyone needs Hasra. You can't be put to death without Hasra. Okay. Okay, maybe Ben Sarimar. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see all this inside. Okay, with all that said, now we start with the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah in the middle of Kufyat Alpha Mid Beis. Anche Ir Nidachas. Ein Lam Chelik Lolam Haba. Now, of course, it comes up over here in the 11th Perek because of the opening line of the Mishnah. The opening line of the Mishnah talks about how they are now their ois. Okay, for those of you who don't speak Yiddish, which includes me, so the. I'm not. I mentioned this already before. In other words, I saw the loss of Yiddish, at least in my family. I mean, my mother speaks a fluent Yiddish. I speak nothing. So okay, that's how these things work. So anyway, but the first point of the Mishnah is that if you're a member of the Ir Nidachas, your ois, you're totally out. You're removed. You're outside of Klal Yisrael, and Eilam Chelik Lo Mahab, and therefore you do not have a portion in the world to come. Shenemar. And how do we know that? Based on the Pesukim. We're reading Pesukim from the Ir Nidachas. The Ir Nidachas Parsha is found in Parsha Shoftim, and the Gemara now is quoting, the Mishnah, I should say better, is quoting from the Pesukim. Shenemar. Yatzu Anashim B'nei Belial Mikirbecha V'yadichu Es Yoshevei Iram. So, Yatzu B'nei Belial, Yatzu Anashim. So the Pesuk goes on to describe how people have left. The word Yitziah literally means to exit. But over here, the Mishnah understands that it means ejected, meaning that they're totally ejected, rejected from Klal Yisrael. They don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Eina ragim ashi umadicheha. Now, they're not going to be put to death until the madichim. Now, let's just get familiar with this terminology. Madich is the cult leader, right? He's the one coming in, telling everybody to be Oved Avodah Zarah. And then obviously all the people that are following, they're called the mudachim. They're the ones who are being being lured into Avodah Zarah. So the Madiach, they're not going to be killed until the Madiach is Me'oso Ir, has to be a member of that city. I mentioned this in the introduction. Meaning it's an outsider coming into town, so luring people to be over to Avodah Zarah, so that doesn't give the city Ir Nidachet status. To receive Ir Nidachet status, the person who is mesmerizing and causing everyone to be over to Avodah Zarah has to be a local. So Me'oso Ir, or Me'oso Shevet, has to be from the city, from the Shevet, the Ad Sheyudach Ruba. And the majority of the city has to be, over to Avodah Zarah. Va'ad Sheyadichuhu Anashim. And the Madiach himself has to be a man. He dichu Anashim Ketanim, Oshu Huduach Miyuta, Oshu Ayu Madichaha Chutzala, Hare Elu Kiyachidim. However, Mishnah points out that if, let's say, the Madiach was either a woman or a minor, or the people that were subverted were the minority of the city, or the person came from out of town who is the Madiach, in all those instances, the city does not gain status of Ir Nidachas. Again, the Mishnah points out, everybody who serves the Avodah Zarah is going to be subject to the death penalty, but death penalty of the individual, meaning Skila, not Sayef, which would be the Ir Nidachas. And again, the big difference, of course, is money. Money's going to be salvaged. Now, in order for anyone to be killed, you need two witnesses and a warning for every individual. And here the Mishnah now consolidates the two points that we've said in the introduction, but here's the Mishnah saying it inside. This is where an individual is going to be more harsh than a group. Meaning, being judged as an Avodah Zarah individual versus an Ovid Avodah Zarah as a community, as a city, so it's going to have leniencies and stringencies. The Mishnah first talks about the Chomer HaYechidim. Shayechidim is Skila, Lefichach Mamon HaPalach. So as an individual, you're going to receive Skila, and therefore your money is going to be salvaged, your money is going to be saved. Meaning your money is not going to be destroyed, and will be able to go to your next of kin. However, Merubin, however, as a community, as a city, meaning if the city gains status of Ir Nidachas, so the people who are serving Avodah Zarah or Saif, they're going to receive the sword, decapitation. However, Lefichach, therefore, Mamonim Avad, their money is going to be destroyed. Meaning the Lefichach over here, very interesting Lefichach. Meaning, since you get Skila, therefore your money is going to be saved. Since you get Saif, therefore your money is going to be destroyed. And the Mishnah seems to be linking and tying the fate of your money with the onish that you get. As if to say that because you got a harsher death penalty, so therefore you're going to get a relief in terms of your money is going to be not asur ba'ana. Okay. We are continuing now in the Mishnah. It's a long Mishnah. So you're going to destroy the city, meaning by the sword again. Once the city gains Ir Nidachet status, so they're going to receive the Misa of Saif, of decapitation. So you can have a caravan of donkey drivers and camel drivers, and what they can end up doing is they can end up saving the city. So, now saving the city, let's put this in context. We're saving the city. Again, anyone who's over to Vodazar is going to be put to death. But saving the city means as follows, and we're going to see this more clear in the Gemara, but Rashi over here points this out. It means like this. For the purposes of Ir Nidachas, so who's part of the city? So you only need Yoshvei Ha'ir. That's the Pasuk. The Gemara is going to qualify. Yoshvei Ha'ir just simply means that you have to be here for 30 days, and that's it. You don't have to have lived here for a year. The Gemara in Baba Basra talks about living in a town for a full year to become a full resident. And the Gemara later on is going to note that. But for now, for our Mishnah, right now, as long as you've been in the city for 30 days now, you're considered Yoshvei Ha'ir. And therefore what? Therefore, you count towards the count. Meaning in this now census that we have to see how many people are there in the city and how many people are being over to Avodah Zarah. And if we hit the 51% mark, so now the city is going to gain an Ir Nidachet status. So the camel drivers and the donkey drivers who are passing through town, as long as they've been here for 30 days plus, so they're now going to apply towards the count. And Rashi tells us that the assumption is that they're not going to be swayed by the Avodah Zarah. I love this Rashi because basically, even though they're considered Yoshvei Ha'ir, but they're not really locals. So just because, you know, you have now what seemingly is a large group of people who are being over to Avodah Zarah, they're going to be looking from the outside, and they're going to be like, yeah, strange customs over here. Strange town. Okay, but in other words, they're not going to necessarily get swayed by it. So therefore, assuming what normally will happen, which is that they're not going to be swayed by the Avodah Zarah, so now that's good for the town, in that they're going to count towards being over or under 50%, and assuming, now that's an assumption, but assuming that they're not over to Avodah Zarah, so they could tip the scale of the town to not become an Ir HaNidacha city, and therefore that'll save all the money. But again, that's not going to change the fate of those people who are over to Avodah Zarah. They're still going to be put to death, although it is going to be a slight change. They're going to get skila, not sreifa. Sorry. They're going to get skila, not sayef. Okay. Rashi does point out, and I'll just make this clear as well, it could work in the reverse, however. Meaning if the donkey drivers and the camel drivers, if they are in the town for 30 days and they do get swept up by the Avodah Zarah, so then they could tip the scales in the other direction as well. Rashi says the only reason why the Mishnah didn't mention that is because that's unlikely.
Is there
30
consecutive days?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. However, Shabakhutzallah Platon. Now, for the tzaddikim in the town, now tzaddik over here is not a high threshold. Tzaddik over here just simply means you weren't Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay? Like, you know, a little bit like Noah. So, although, again, right, we just debated that point a couple days ago in the daf. But the but tzaddik over here, so if you're a tzaddik in the Ir Nidachas town, so your money is going to be destroyed, but because you're a tzaddik, we're going to make a distinction. Money, your assets in town, collected into the Rechov HaIr, and are going to be destroyed with everyone else. But any assets that you have out of town, so they don't have to be brought into town. Contrast, Sharishayim, Bein Shebesocha, Bein Lechutzala, Hare Elu Ovdim. However, if you're a Rasha, then, and you're part of the Ir Nidachas town, so not only are your local assets going to be brought to Rechov HaIr, but your outside accounts as well, your outside assets are going to be brought into town and destroyed as well. The Mishnah continues. Everything is going to be brought into the Rechov. Im ein la Rechov. Now, the Mishnah here deals with a possible logistic problem. Let's say the layout of the city just simply doesn't have a Rechov. Now what? Meaning the Torah says, if we have an Ir HaNidachas city, and so then you take all the possessions, you bring it to the Rechov, and without a Rechov, what do? Says the Mishnah, osin la Rechov. So, according to one opinion in the Mishnah, well, right now in the Mishnah, it's the only opinion. We'll see more about this later. So, osin la rechov, so you have to make a rechov. So, ad hoc construction for the purposes of being able to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah of bringing everything into the rechov. Ha'is rechov ha'chutzala, konsen osol ha'socha. Now, let's say there is a rechov here, but again, just it's a strange layout of a city, and the rechov is external to the city, or somewhere in the perimeter of the city. So then what you have to do is you have to, once again, make a new rechov on the inside of the city, interior to the city, so that the so that we can fulfill this part of this detail within the mitzvah. The Mishnah continues by quoting the Pesukim. It's an unusual Mishnah, by the way, but we've had this before, where the Mishnah is basically darshaning the Pesukim. So the Pesuk says, and the Gemara says, Shlalah, v'lo shalal shamayim. It has to be private property, but not any property that's owned by the Beis HaMikdash. So Mikan Amru. So from here, say the Chachamim, Hekdesh HaShabbat. So if you have any property that belongs to Hekdesh, that's an ear in an ear and idachas yipadu, so it must be redeemed. Shruma, if you have Shruma in the ear and idachas city, Yir Kavu, it's to allow to be rotted, meaning it's produce, it's perishable, so you allow it to rot. You don't burn it in the fire. That is a bizui hakachim. It's disgraceful for kachim to just simply burn it when you don't burn it. So you just simply, or let it naturally rot. And maestro sheni v'kisvei kodesh ganezu. And as far as your kisvei kodesh and your maestro sheni, so that you put in ganeza. Interesting, the maestro sheni is not treated the same way truma is. Okay, the Rishonim deal with that. Kala l'ashem l'kecha, continuing in the Mishnah. And it's to be totally destroyed. I'm Rabbi Shimon, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im atem osim din bi'ir anidachas. So Rabbi Shimon understands this phrase of the Pasuk to teach us the following. Let's say we judge the ir anidachas appropriately, correctly. Ma'ala ani alechem ki'ilu atem ma'alim ola kalu lefnei lefanai. It's as if you brought a carbon towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know I'm adding a little bit of imagery over here, but like burning the possessions in the center of the town, ki'ilu. It's as if we are actually offering a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it provides ritzui towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a carbon wood. V'haisa tel olam. And now the aftermath. What do we do with the city after it has gained the Ir Nidacha status, after we burn everything in the center of the town? So the Torah says it becomes tel olam, a mound. Right? The word tel is a mound. Okay. So Lausa said, Ganos Pardesim. So, Divrei Rav Yosef Galilei. Rav Yosef Galilei says the city is to be left absolutely desolate. Don't even plant trees there. No fruit trees, nothing. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Sibane Od, Livnos, I'm sorry, Lichmosha Haisa Eino Nivnes, Aval Nasisi, Ganos Pardesim. No, Rabbi Kiva says, you read the pasuk critically, carefully, the Torah says you shouldn't rebuild it. Meaning the offense on the Torah is to rebuild it to what it once was as a city. But if you want to plant an orchard over there, that's fine. Lo yidbak biyadcham u'ma menacherim. Nothing is to remain from that which is left in the city. Shekol zman sharishayim ba'olam charon af ba'olam. As long as there are rishayim in this world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has anger. Avdu rishayim na'olam istalik charon af mina'olam. But once rishayim have been removed from this world, so the charon af of the Kadosh Baruch Hu abates. Yes. The Avodah Zarah is the property, the movable property. In other words, the actual land itself, remember we made this point a couple of times, land itself does not gain Avodah Zarah status. So we're just planting a tree in the property itself, in the ground itself. So the only consideration is when the Torah says, Tel Olam, what does the Torah want us to, what does it want this, the city to look like in the aftermath? So okay, so that's a machlokas. But in terms of Hana'ah, there's no Isser Hana'ah by land. Tanu Rabbanan. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Alef Amud Beis, still yesterday's daf. Tanu Rabbanan, we are going to be treated to a brisa. This brisa is going to review a lot of the points that we already made in the Mishnah. I'll go a little bit quickly over here. Yatsu, so the Torah says that you have members of the city that go out. So Hein Velo Shluchim. In other words, again, for the city to gain an Ir Nidachet status, you need the subverters themselves to go out and not through a shlich. They can't do it via messenger. Okay, this part is a little bit strange, by the way, that first part of the drasha, because we generally have the rule of ein shlech l'dvar avera, that you cannot have an agent doing an avera for you. So even without the drasha, we would have known that the madiach himself is not subject to any kind of penalty through agency. Okay, anyway, anashim, they have to be men, so ein anashim b'pachas mishnayim. So in other words, they need, in order for there to be a subverted city, you need the subverters to be at least two. Dava acher anashim velo nashim. Also can't be women. We made that point already in the Mishnah. Velo katanim, can't be minors. A repeat of the Mishnah. Bnei Belial, banim sheparku ol shamayim mitzavareim. People who have taken the yoke of heaven and removed it from them, meaning that they are totally callous and remove responsibility. Halachically speaking, what exactly that means, I'm not sure. I'm admitting, but people who are lawless. Mikir Becha Velom Nesfar. It has to be the only city that can become an Ir Nidachas city with the status Ir Nidachas is only a city interior to Eretz Yisrael, not a bordering city. We already discussed this earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara. This is the second time in Sanhedrin we're making this point. A border city is not to become an Ir Nidachas. One explanation that we gave earlier in the Masechta is simply because if the bordering town was to become an Ir Nidachas, so that would now mean that on the border, we have basically an uninhabited town, and it could be an access point for enemies to come in. Okay, so a town on the border cannot become an Ir Nidachas town. Yoshvei Iram, the Gemara goes on, this is still part of the Braisa. Velo Yoshvei Ir Acheres. In other words, in order to be an Ir Nidachas, you have to be subverted from a local resident. It can't be an outsider. We already made that point back in the Mishnah. But again, this is a brisa, though, so there could be a lot of overlap, which there is. Lemor, shetzrichim edim v'asrol l'chol echa v'echad. Everybody needs witnesses. Everybody needs a warning. Continuing in the Gemara Yitmar. Rabbi Yochanan amar chokin irachas l'shnei shvatim, v'Reish Lakish amar in chokin irachas l'shnei shvatim. A general machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of whether or not you can have one city in Israel being in two different shvatim, can be in the domain of the territory of two different shvatim. So in America, so Kansas City is two different states, right? It's a city in two different states, right? I thought so. So Kansas City is a city in two different states. So basically, I'm just saying that b'derech hamashal. So the Gemara is basically asking, can we have that in Eretz Yisrael? Can you have a city which is basically flanked between two shvatim and actually divided between two shvatim? Rav Yochanan says yes, Reish Lakish says no, and the Gemara now debates this very issue. I mean, it's a machlokas. Eitzvei, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan points out to Reish Lakish, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah seems to have take a clear position. Why? Because our Mishnah says, Ad sheyadichu, Ad sheyu madicha meosa ha'ir meosa ha'shevet. Because look what our Mishnah said. In order to be an Eri Dachas, you have to be subverted by a person who's from this town and from this shevet. Now, if you're from this town, doesn't by definition mean that you're from this shevet? And so Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, so what is the Mishnah driving at? My love, afa gav de medicha meyoso ir, iika meyoso shevet in ilolo. So it seems to be a very clear proof from our Mishnah that you could be from the same town, but from different shvatim. And that's why the Mishnah had to clarify and say, you have to be from this town and from this shevet. So shma mina, chokin ir achas l'shnei shvatim. So, seems pretty clear that you can have a city divided between two different shvatim. The Gemara says, no. In defense of Reish Lakish, denafala b'Yerusha, inam idiav v'niala b'matana. The Gemara says, look, we can come up with simple examples of how I can have a city where you have in one city dual shvatim ownership. One simple example is, let's say there was a Yerusha, which means that you had a woman from this shevet marrying a man from another shevet. And so now, in terms of next generation, so this property in this town will be owned by somebody else in the shevet. Now, we talked back in Baba Basra about the prohibition of tribal intermarriage, but we also noted back there in Baba Basra that was only for generation one when going into Eretz Yisrael. From that point going forward, it's recommended that you marry somebody from your own shevet, but it's no longer an iser to marry somebody from another shevet. Or the Gemara says, another simple example, matana, meaning that you have a person in this town from this shevet who gifts the property over to somebody from another shevet. Okay, why he did that, who knows? But again, those are simple examples where you can have one city and meanwhile owned by different shvatim. But you don't have to conclude that you can have a city that's actually divided between two shvatim. Eitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again. Arim Teisha Meishnei Shvatim Ha'ilu. Shevet Yehuda and Shimon took their territories and handed over from their territories nine cities to the Levim. This is reported in Sefer Yehoshua in the 21st Perek. And so now nine cities are given from two Shvatim. What's the breakdown? So the Gemara says, My love, Arba Pagame Hai, Varba Pagame Hai. So seemingly, it's an even distribution. And so that means that each city gave to the Levim each shevet gave to the city to Levim four and a half cities each. So that means now that you have one city that's a composite of Yehuda and Shimon. So the Gemara says Ushma mina chokin irachas l'shnei shvatim. So again, seemingly an excellent proof that one town could be a composite of two shvatim. Lo, the Gemara once again rejects or at least defends Reish Lakish. Arba mehai v'chemish mehai. So the Gemara says it could be that all the Navi is telling us is that there were nine cities given by these two shvatim. The breakdown could have been four and five. Ihachi lifrosh perushim. But the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't love that approach, because if that's true, so then why not the Navi, why not Yehoshua actually spell out who gave five and who gave four? By virtue of the fact that the Navi said nine from two shvatim, the more reasonable pshat is like Rav Yochanan, that was four and a half given from each. Kashya, the Gemara admits, this is difficult. The Psukim and Yehoshua do seem to support Rav Yochanan. But as we've said time and again, Kashya just simply means that it's not, we didn't reject Reish Lakish's position, it just seems more reasonable to hold like Rav Yochanan.
Why is the source that coming from Kushevet? Because they were supposed to be spread all over,
right, meaning what? The Ir Levim.
No,
the, the Navi was just talking about specifically just from those two, meaning other Shvatim gave other cities to the Levium. The Navi was just talking about those two. Okay, we're on the very top of Kufiyot Beis Amud Aleph. We're continuing now in the Gemara's discussion regarding Yerni Dachas Ibai Lahu Hutchum Aleihem Mahu. Okay, a simple question of the Gemara, really simple question. Let's say you have a subverted city, but no Pied Piper. So nobody's getting up in the front of the city, you know, with the, you know, ranting and railing about how idolatry is wonderful. Let's all do it. Come on, guys, let's go. And what if, let's say, just organically on its own, the city now became subverted with no subverters? Is the city now going to gain Irani Dachat status? So, and the Gemara very succinctly presents both sides of this debate. So on one hand, Vayadichu Amarechmana Velo Shehut Chumelehem. On one hand, the Torah says Vayadichu. Seems very clear from the Torah that in order for the city to get Ir Nidachet status, you need a Pied Piper. On the other hand, a Pied Pipers, by the way. We just learned a moment ago, you have to have two of them, you know, in the front. Odilma Afilu Hut Chumelehem. Or maybe no. Maybe the Torah is just simply saying like this. If the city in mass is being over to Vodazara, Ir Nidachas. And what the Torah is talking about, and what the Torah is teaching us when it says the Madichim, that there are subverters, is that even in a case where there are subverters, because you could have made the following argument. Now, I know it's a rationalization, but it's an argument. You could have said, look, we were swayed. You know, we were lured. Right? He's very charismatic. Maybe we shouldn't get Irani Dacha status because it's not like we came up with this on our own. Meaning somebody very charismatic, a couple of people who are really, really charming. So they charmed us. So maybe what the Torah is saying is that even in such a situation, you're still going to have an Irani Dachat status. But goes without saying that if we did it on our own, so we're going to have an Irani Dachat status. Yes.
How do you make this argument, though? You said before, if it was a woman or a minor,
well, Danny, you're foreshadowing the upcoming Gemara. You're doing good. Okay, so stay tuned. So Amrachmana. So I'm sorry, V'yadicha Amrachmana. I'm sorry, I did all that. V'afilu Hutchum Aleihem. Tashma. Okay, Danny, you could be writing the Gemara. So Hidichu Nashim Uketanim. The Mishnah says if you have women or minors who are subverting the city, so am I. So Lehaviku Hutchum Aleihem. So the Gemara says, well, if women and minors don't count as Pied Pipers. But at least now we have a city being subverted. So even if you want to tell me that the subverters don't have the status, but if you're taking the position that a city subverted on its own is considered near Idachas, so we have it, don't we? So the Gemara says, Hanach basan ashayu greedy, hani basan ashayu mukatanim greedy. Gemara says we could still make a distinction. And we could say like this. To be self-subverted, I know I just made up that term. To be self-subverted. So maybe what the Gemara is arguing is under those circumstances you're considering Nidachas. But if you're going to be led by others, so they have to be men, not women and children. And the Gemara says, and we could still make a distinction between being led by women and children, for whatever reason, the city is not considering Nidachas, and the city does not gain Nidachas status, but if the city on its own becomes a subverted city, where the majority of them are going to be over to Avodah Zarah, so then it could be that that's different and that's going to be considered a city of Nir Nidachas. Okay. Ad Shiyudach Ruba Hechi Avdinan. All right, so I foreshadowed this Gemara back in the introduction and in the Mishnah, and now here the Gemara is going to deal with it, and that is a logistic nightmare. It is a logistically really difficult, because consider that the first person in the town that we're judging, so we know it's a Avodah Zarah, we know, in other words, we know how to judge. The only detail left, it's an important detail, is how is it going to be executed. Well, right now, he's the first person we're judging today. So right now, we're going to have to say Skila, because the city's not yet near any Dachas. But then, judging one person after another, after another, after another, and then we get to the person after 50%, meaning, just for simplicity's sake, we'll call him the 51st person of this town of 100. I'm not sure if that works so well, but anyway. But okay, again, just for simplicity's sake. The person after 50%, and now he's getting judged, and now he turns out to be guilty. So now that means the city's in Dachas. But of course, that also means everyone we killed up until now was killed with the wrong Mises Beis Din. So it's logistically. So how do we do this? So Amar Rav Yehuda Danim v'Chofshim Danim v'Chofshim. So the Gemara is going to give now a couple of solutions to the problem. So one solution, says Rav Yehuda, is what we'll do is we'll judge the town and we'll simply now after the Gemar Din. So now he's held in death row. Yeah.
What about the issue of Hatra? How can you get Hatra if you don't know what person else you're
going to
get?
Okay, so I knew this question was coming. And I also knew that I'm ill-equipped to answer this question. Right? It's a good question, and I thought of it also. And I don't know the answer. Meaning that when you're warning somebody in a town and you see that it's potentially Aaron Adachas town, you don't know which way to warn. I'm guessing that a warning towards Misa would be sufficient, although I know that's debatable. I happen to know.
Can you give a comprehensive patrol saying that if you're the city majority, then this
is... Right. It could be. I knew the question was coming. I don't have a prepared answer. Okay, but good. It's a good question. Okay, Amalei Ula. Nimsa ata ma'anez dino sha'ela. Now, Ula does not like the Rav Yehuda solution because, look, you put somebody in death row, that's Inu Adin. Meaning we've learned since the sixth parak of Sanhedrin that any time you suspend justice, meaning we know what the verdict is, so yeah, we do want a little bit of time for an appeal process. And in the beginning of the sixth parak of Sanhedrin, we talked about a small window of time for an appeal process. But once the verdict has been reached by a Beis Din, we want to execute judgment right away. And delaying judgment is what's called Inu Adin. And according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, well, we're going to just judge the first 50% of the town and we're going to put them in some sort of death row, in some sort of, quarantine or, incarceration, basically, until we know the fate of the others. That's called Inu Adin. And that's no good. Elam or Ula, Danim V'Soklin, Danim V'Soklin. So Ula says, so here's what we're going to do. We'll judge, and at least for the first 50% of the town, Skila. Okay, and then, obviously, at 51%, we now know the city is in Ereni Dachas. From this point going forward, obviously, the din is going to change in terms of the death penalty. Okay, but in other words...
In terms of counting, once they still count towards the residual of the city?
Yeah, what do you mean? Even though they were already killed?
Yeah.
So yeah, in other words, I understand that, but I hear you, but in terms of the numbering, they were part of the... This idolatry, yeah, they do count, even though they're now dead. Right, and Ula's position obviously is interesting because now we've put them to death through what at the time was correct, but now retroactively, in retrospect, it's a wrong death penalty. Every solution, in other words, it's a problem, and every solution is going to have there's not going to be a perfect solution to this problem. Itmar, Rav Yochanan Amar, Dan V'Soklin, Dan V'Soklin. The Gemara now quotes other Amaraim on this very issue. Rav Yochanan also says we're going to do the same thing. We're going to judge and execute through Skila until we get to 51%. Reish Lakish Amar, Mar Ben Lam Bati Dinim. Reish Lakish says, you know what we'll do? What we're going to do is we're going to basically have calling all cars. We're going to have calling all courts. We're going to have just a mass court system set up in this town for this most unique opportunity. Thank you. Much better word than mine for this most unique situation. So we're just going to have as many courts as possible, so that the whole matter could be judged both correctly and expeditiously. So the Gemara says, "Eini." The Gemara does not like the solution. So from Reish Lakish. So because Vamar Rabbi Chama Rav Yosi Amar Rabbi Yoshia Votesa Yisushuos Yishahi. So Ish Veisha Tamosi L'Sharecha V'Yatamosi Kol L'Sharecha. If you have individuals being judged for idolatry, so that's going to be judged by individual courts, and it could be local courts. Meaning we can have a local court doing capital punishment. It'll be a court of 23, but we can have a local court do so. However, for Ir Nidacha, since it's such a big ticket item, you can't have a local court judge it. It must be judged by the Sanhedrin. So basically what the Gemara is saying to Reish Lakish is, no, what are you talking about? We're not having a bunch of courts coming into town and judging. We need the Sanhedrin. So Ella, the Gemara says, Marbel Mbate Dinim, Uma Ainim Bidinayim, the Umaskina Luhu, Lebezin Agado, Vigarmalu Danai Vikat Luhu. So the Gemara now is basically just tweaking Reish Lakish's position. Yeah. Like Reish Lakish suggested just a moment ago, we're going to have multiple courts coming on the scene, and we're going to have multiple trials occurring in the city, and that way we can judge as many people as possible, as expeditiously as possible, etc., etc. In terms of the Gemar Din cannot happen now, because again, we need a Sanhedrin. But at least now we have the courts investigating the matter, where now they can go en masse over to the Sanhedrin, and now everyone's going to be marched over to the Sanhedrin, and with all this information gathered by all the local Beis Dins, so now the Sanhedrin can judge everybody at the same time. And again, I know this is a really, really detailed, oriented process, and really long, and you know, it's really, really difficult to imagine, but at least in doing such, we're going to give everyone the proper death penalty, and we won't be ma'anis adin, and okay, see, it's a way to... Once the city gets here in Nidach city, so then all the property is going to be collected, even for those people who were killed already. I assume so. Hakesakes Yoshve Ha'ir Tanur Rabbanan. Hachamers v'agamel is over, and mimakum l'makum, lana besocha v'hutchu ima im nishtau sham shoshim yom, so, hein b'saifu mamonam avad, pachus mikan, hein b'skil mamonam palat. So, I mentioned this back in the Mishnah, here's the Gemara. The Gemara says it straightforward, it's a b'raisa, that in order to become a resident of the city to become part of the city for any dachas purposes, you have to be there for 30 days. Uriminu. Now, the Gemara notes that we've learned about becoming a member of the city, a card-carrying member of the city back in Baba Basra, and the Gemara quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra. This was at the very beginning of Baba Basra. Kama yeh, bi'ir v'yeh ka'anshi ha'ir, shneim asar chodesh. Baba Basra, we learned together, you must be in the town for 12 months. Now, over there in Baba Basra, we were talking about being part of the city for taxation purposes. In other words, in order for the tax collectors to come to you and say, okay, you're no longer just passing through. You're here, and you now have to share the full tax burden of the city. So you have to be there for 12 months. So, Baba Basra, we're talking about 12 months. Over here, we're talking about 1 month. Obviously, discrepancy. I'm a revelo kasha. So the Gemara says, well, if we are looking over here at two different statuses, a ben ha'ir versus a Yoshev Ha'ir. Now, I know it sounds like semantics, but it's fair over here to use semantics because we have the Torah. Meaning the Torah describes that for an Ir Nidachas, you have to be a Yoshev Ha'ir, as opposed to what the Gemara Baba Basra was looking at, which is a Ben Ha'ir. And now the Gemara quotes the Brice of Ha'atanya. And this Ha'atanya is a support for what we just got done saying. Hamuda Hanam Ibn Ha'ir. Right? Let's say you're just fed up with the people in your town. Fed up with them. And you made a neder that I'm not going to get any benefit from the B'nei Ha'ir. So, Im Yesh Adam Shinishta Hashem Shnei Matzar Chodesh Asur Lehanus Mimenu Pachus Mikan Mutar Lehanus Mimenu. So the Mishnah Nedarim tells us that if you have somebody who's been in the town for more than 12 months, so he's now included in your neder. Anything less than that, he's a newbie. and you can get hanah from such an individual. However, Yoshve Ha'ir, if your neder included the Yoshve Ha'ir, so then Im Nishta Shoshim Yom. And the Mishnah Nedarim says that if your neder was Yoshvei Ha'ir, so then anyone who's been in town for 30 days is now included in your neder. So, since by Ir Nidach, as the Torah says, Hakei Sakei is Yoshvei Ha'ir, so therefore the guideline, the amount of time necessary to become a Ir Hanidach is card carrying member of the city. It's not the best type of status you want, but you only have to be there for 30 days. Hacharim osav es kol asher ba tana rabban and hacharim osav. So prat lenichse tzadikim shebechutz olah. So again, if you're in the town and you're a tzadik, tzadik just simply means you weren't over to Vodazara. So your assets locally are going to be collected and destroyed. But if you have any assets out of town, they get saved. Es kol asher ba le rabbas nichse tzadikim shebesocha shlala v'lo shlal shamayim. Private property is going to be destroyed, but not shlal shamayim. So, as kol shlala, rabbis nechzer v'shem shechutzar. Now, kol shlala is coming to teach me what? You're Rosh Ha'ir Nidachas. So it goes without saying that all your local assets are going to be collected and burnt in the center, in town center. But on top of that, external assets as well. Assets that you have that are outside of town are going to be brought in to be destroyed. So Am Rabbi Shimon Mimnema Amra Torah Nichsei Tzadikim Shebesocha Yoveda. Now Rabbi Shimon throughout Shas, he gives time of the Kra. He gives rationale and reasons behind the mitzvahs of the Torah. So Rabbi Shimon over here explains beautifully, why is it that if you're a tzaddik, your money, your local money is going to be destroyed, but your external assets, your, you know, your offshore accounts, they're going to be okay. So Rabbi Shimon explains, because mibnei ma'amar Torah shnichzei tzadikim shebesocha yovedu, so mi garam lem shiyadu besocha mamonam. Lefichach mamonam aved. What is tethering you to this town? Your money. Meaning, not all your money, your local money. Meaning that your local assets in this town, your properties in this town, your possessions in this town, obviously that's what tethers you to this town. Now the town just was discovered to be near Nidachas. So as a result of that, Rabbi Shimon now giving time of decree explaining. In other words, you're a tzaddik, you're not going to be put to death. You're obviously going to, you're going to be able to go, to leave. Okay. And really in theory, your money also should be able to leave as well. But the reason why the Torah says is that your local assets is going to be destroyed is because it's exactly those local assets that tied you down, tethered you down to this town. And had it not been for those assets, you never would be here. Ah, so that's why those assets are to be destroyed. That's his rationale. Amar Mar. Ves kol shlala tikbots. L'rabos nechse reshem shechutzala. Amar Rav Chisda v'niktvatsum l'socha. Rav Chisda here gives a qualifier. Even though we just said in the Brisa that if you're a Rasha, both your local assets and your out-of-town assets as well are all going to be collected. Rav Chisda said, but even there we're going to create a perimeter. Meaning, let's say you have assets on the other side of the world. We don't have to wait for those assets to get collected into this town before we start burning the assets of this town. It just simply means that any asset that is retrievable within a one-day journey, right? The language he uses is nikbatsim lesocha. As long as it can be collected within a certain amount of time. Okay, it doesn't say exactly when, but Rashi says it's as long as it's retrievable within a one-day journey, so those assets for Rishayim are going to be retrieved in order to be burned. But even for the Rishayim who have assets further out, they do not have to be brought in. I'm Rav Chisda, Pikdono Shal Anshei Eir Nidachas Mutar. Now we're talking about a pikado, something that's held by a custodian. So it is going to be salvaged. It's permitted. Now, exactly what is he describing? That's Gemara's next question. Hechi dami. Gemara says, can we be a little bit clearer over here about what we mean? If we're talking about where, let's say, it belongs to somebody from another town, and it just happens to be that a local here in the Ir Nidach, a local of the Ir Nidachas, is holding it as a shomer. So the Gemara says, Pshita de Matarim, of course it's going to be permissible. Lav shalahu. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. You're simply a shomer. You're a custodian. You're watching it, but it's not yours. So Ella, dituva isnu be'ir acheres. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe it belongs to a member of the Ir Nidachas, and right now it's being watched out of town. So the Gemara says, Eden nikbatsum lesocha, my mutar vi'i, ein nikbatsum lesocha, ha'amra, chadazimna. So the Gemara says, well, I don't get it. Meaning, if, let's say it's retrievable, so retrieve it. It belongs to somebody in the Ir Nidachas. And if it's not retrievable, meaning it's too far away, well, we already established that if it's not retrievable, I don't have to bring it in. So once again, when we're talking about this pikadon, what new halacha are we learning together? So lo, the Gemara says, Olam dir acheres de mafka di besocha. We're talking about an object that belongs to an out-of-towner, that somebody locally is watching it. And again, the question the Gemara asked previously is, and why would you have thought otherwise? Gemara explains, Hach b'mayiskinan, kigon dekaba alach rayos. Where the custodian takes on not a limited responsibility/liability, full liability, achrayus. Right? Correct. If anything were to happen with it, I'm accepting upon myself full liability. You might have thought now that he is almost like an owner. And I say almost, I really mean even closer than almost. In other words, his full liability for the item, his full responsibility for the item, may, the Zahavamina, now may give him ownership status to where it should be destroyed. Kava Allah achrayus kididei dami kamash malan. By the way, it's almost like a total irony, meaning because you have full liability, therefore you're an owner, and therefore it's going to be destroyed. But the real owner of the item is like, I'd much rather you not have liability, so I get to get it back. Anyway, but the point of Rav Chisda is he's not the owner; it is in fact owned by the out of towner, and therefore the out of towner gets to keep it. I'm Rav Chista. Behema. Chetzia shel ir nidach v'chetzia shel ir acheres asura. Okay, the Gemara here, Kedarka Bakodesh, now deals with these fine nuanced questions. What if I have an animal that is owned in partnership, and 50% of the animal is owned by a member of the Irani Dachas, 50% of the animal is owned by an out-of-towner? So now, what do we do with this animal? So the Gemara says it's asabana, meaning that the entire animal is now asabana. Now the Gemara does not talk about compensation from one partner to the other partner. Okay. Yeah. Right. Right.
It doesn't matter where it is.
No, of course, right. In other words, again, as long as it's retrievable.
Right.
Yeah.
What about Avadim?
What about Avadim? Also, that's a good question. Okay, right, right. I'm right. Let me just first finish up this point. It's a good question. Isa, the Gemara says, what about Doch? Chetashel, Irinidach, Vichetashel, Iracheres, or Muteres? So half of it's going to be mutter. Now, my timer, though, we already could probably guess the distinction. The Gemara spells it out. Behema command la pligidamya, and Isa command la pligidamya, meaning an animal is indivisible. Now, in other words, we can't just simply slice the animal in half. Half of it's yours, half of it's mine. The animals don't work that way, right? It's one organism. You know, every part of the animal needs the other part of the animal. Masha Einkin, when it comes to a doe, it can easily be divided into two. I'm Rav Chista Behema Ir Nidachas. So Mahu Dithani Ba Shchita Latar Midei Nevela. Another real detailed question. We'll end today with this. Can I shecht an animal of an Ir Nidachas? Now let's be clear. If you have an animal of a member of the Ir Nidachas, it's going to be burnt to the town. It's going to be Nisraf. It's going to be burnt, and it's also Asar Bahana. I can't get a benefit from it. All that's true. Now, its destruction could be also that we're going to shecht it. Let me make this point also clear. As far as the scythe penalty is concerned, the scythe penalty is going to go to the people, and also, oddly enough, the animals themselves are also going to be killed by the sword. In other words, the animals are not going to be burnt alive. They're going to be killed by the sword. Possessions are going to be burnt, but the animal is going to be killed by the sword. So as long as anyway I have a sword and I have to kill the animal, can I kill it through shechita? Well, what do you gain by that? Shechita accomplishes two purposes. One is that shechita allows me to eat the animal, meaning it renders it not an avela. Two, concurrently, is that it prevents the animal from being an avela so that it's now a source of tumah. An animal that dies without shechita is a nevela, which is an avatumah, it's a source of tumah. So, look, we all know I can't eat the animal, so consumption is out of the question. So the shech, the animal, to eat the animal is not even open for entertainment because he can't get benefit from it. But can I at least now, in killing the animal of the Irani Nachas, can I at least do the action of shechita, which would prevent the animal from being a nevela, so that's not it's not tameya. Okay, I understand. It's not, you know, what real gain are we talking about over here? But that's the Gemara's question. So behema is Irani Dachas. So Maudi is not b'shchita latar midei nevela. So the Gemara says the lefi charva merchmana lo shna shachtu meshmisha lo shna kadla mikdal. Torah's instructions for animals is that they are to be killed by the sword. Torah doesn't care after that how you apply the sword to the neck of the animal. O dilma kevin deshachtu mahani le shchita. So So after the animal was shechted, the first side of the suffix is that the Torah simply says kill it, and it won't make any difference how you kill it. The animal is also bana, or maybe no, maybe came to shecht the mahani leshchita. Or maybe on the other hand, well, since he shechted, at least the shechting will be effective in order to remove the tahara, so the animal doesn't become a nevela. My take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rav Yosef, Seir Nashim Tzidkaniyos, Mahu. What about the hair of the women in that town? So is that considered part and parcel of what needs to be collected and destroyed? So now, Amarava, Hadr Sharis Aser. So it was clear from the question that for the hair of the Rishayos are going to be Aser, tick boats, the Torah says they have to collect Visarafta. those two words are not back to back, but that's the two verbs, collect and burn. So, ksiv, mi she'ena mechusa ela kvitza v'sreifa, however, yes, it says, she mechusa tlisha ukvitza usreifa. On the other hand, in order to take the hair of the rishayos, so you would have to do an action in between. Any action in between doesn't satisfy the requirement of kibbutz and sreifa. So the Gemara says, El amarava bepeh nachris. So we're not talking about hair connected to the head, we're talking about shetels. In other words, so now we have, do we take the shetels? Hechidami. Idem mechubar begufa kegufa damya. So the Gemara says, if it's woven into their hair, so woven, maybe a strong term. But basically, if it's fastened to their head, do we view it as part of their body? So, I'm sorry, the Gemara is not asking this as a question. The Gemara is stating this as a fact. Idem mechubar begufa kegufa damya. And so therefore, once again, in order to be something to be collected, it has to be only kibbutz and nisraf. And over here, once it needs to be detached from her, it doesn't qualify something which is going to be collected. So lo tzricha detale b'sifta. So the Gemara says that it's not on her head, so but rather it's hanging on some sort of peg. Kenichse tzadikim shebesocha dami va'avad. So the Gemara says it's now. On one hand, the Gemara now spells out the two tzadim. On one hand, it should be viewed like an asset that's internal to the city and therefore to be destroyed. Odilma, kevin de'ayla v'nafka klavusha dami. Or do we perhaps view it as her clothing, something that is not just considered an external asset, but something that it's like her clothing she's wearing all the time, and therefore it is not to be burnt. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, we'll stop over here tomorrow. Okay, we will find the very bottom of Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph. Yirtzeh Hashem. The Kufyud Gimel is really, there's an Amud Aleph. I know, it's a funny looking daf, but there's no Amud Beis. So tomorrow we'll, God willing, conclude the Masechta in the morning.